TKC, how you guys doing? Good? All right, excellent. How many people love to see people, actually, who's got their Bibles with them? All right. Hey, I also want to say this. I've been harping on this a bunch. I think that it's important for us to make sure we bring notebooks when we come to church as well. If we're not bringing a notebook, if we're not learning, if we're not expecting to learn, guess what you get when you show up? What you expect. You expect you get the chance to not learn. So if you're expecting to learn something you want to keep with you, bring your notebook so you can write it down, remember it. Who loves seeing people when they use their gifts? Like, who loves seeing people just, like, excellent at what they do? Anybody love seeing that? I like watching professional sports a lot. Even sports, you know, I'm not a big baseball guy. I don't love baseball. I know some people might boo me right now. But I don't love it. But my son plays baseball, and even baseball, when you see these guys being able to hit 100-mile-an-hour fastballs, be able to do things that normal humans can't do, you know, the price that they have paid to be able to do that is just, it's just incredible. It's fun to watch. Yesterday, I was at King's Dominion with the youth group, and I got a call from my wife, Catherine, telling me that our son, Christian, he's a monster, okay? He's like in the 95th percentile for both height, weight. He's so fast, so strong. I mean, when he was 4 years old, he could do 11 pull-ups. I mean, he's built different than, I mean, he was born with a six-pack. I mean, it's insane. But Catherine said, she called me just bragging on him because yesterday in his flag football game, there was 30 seconds left in the game. And they were on their own, like, you know, 30-yard line, basically. And, you know, they hand off the ball to Christian. He busts through and runs a 70-yard touchdown to score and win the game-winning touchdown. And she called, and she was, like, bragging on him and just so excited. And she's like, I felt like I was going to cry. You know, you see him. You know, we know that he's very special physically. He's just very special. And it made me want to cry. Now, disclaimer, Catherine cries about everything. But she did. She's like, it made me want to cry just thinking about it. And it's just so cool, you know, when you see people just live in their gifts, do something that they've been specially gifted to do and do it well and do it amazing. It's really sad now because most people under 30 have never heard of the film Chariots of Fire. Don't know who Eric Little is. But it's such an awesome, awesome film. And I love just the banter back and forth between Eric Little and his sister when he was talking about being called to go to China as a missionary. And they were going back and forth. And he says this, I believe that God made me for a purpose, for China. But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. God also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. Does anybody experience that in your life? That you just have some things that God has gifted you in. Maybe it's art. Maybe it's, I don't know what it is. Whatever it is. But do you have things that when you do it, you feel God's pleasure? You just feel alive. You feel good. Well, you know, I was, when Catherine and I were talking just about, you know, watching Christian in his football game, she's like, when I saw him run, I felt God's pleasure, you know, and it's just that feeling when you see it and you just feel God's pleasure when you see people living in their gift sets. You know, there's a clip, we don't have time to show it this morning, I was going to show it, but most everybody's seen it, and if you haven't, you know, go home and Google it, you know, look on YouTube, but it's the clip of Susan Boyle from Britain's Got Talent, where it's this lady that just, I mean, had been beaten up by life, just, I mean, you watch her walk out and everybody's like, who is this person? Like it's just going to be one of those things where they make fun of her and she's going to be terrible. And then she sings I Dreamed a Dream, you know, the song from Les Mis. And the irony of it is, you know, the song is about how, you know, life has killed the dream she's dreamed. And she's standing there and just busts out this beautiful voice. And it's just so amazing to see what had come of that gift that she had been given. And here this morning, what I want to say is, you know, I know that life is very hard. And I think that a lot of us here have dreams, you know, and life has killed many dreams that we have and has beaten down some of the talents that God has given us, some of the abilities that God has given us and entrusted to us. And we have the choice right now to just let it go. Just say, okay, I've had these dreams, I've had these gifts that the Lord has given me, but whatever, I'm just going to do what I do and just put my head down and get through life. Or we can be people who, you know, who use these gifts and talents that the Lord has given us and use them to make a difference in this world to those around us. Jesus actually tells a story. It's called a parable. A parable is a story with a meaning. In Matthew 25, and if you have your Bible open, if you want to turn there, I think it'll be up on the screen as well. It says this, starting in verse 14. It says, "For it," and he was describing the kingdom of God, "will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants." Now, I want you to understand something here. If you are a Christian, if you have decided that following Jesus is the right thing and entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have said, "I lay down my life. I take up my cross daily, that I am a servant of Jesus Christ." And if you are a Christian, you have laid down your life and you have decided to follow Jesus. So he's talking to you. And he entrusted them to his property. To one, he gave 5 talents. To another, he gave 2. And to another, he gave 1, each according to his ability. Now, there's some discrepancy over how much a talent is, but most scholars think a talent is approximately 75 pounds worth of gold. Okay, 75 pounds, that's heavy. That's really heavy. And, you know, looking at kind of the conversion ratio, in today's money, is a talent be somewhere just shy of $1 million. So we're looking at, you know, one guy, he gave $5 million. Another guy, he gave $2 million. Another guy, he gave $1 million. So these gifts, these talents, these you know, this treasure that he gave them is no small thing. You know, what Jesus is saying is this is, it's a fortune. It's very important. It's a big deal. And each was given according to their ability. Now, I want to flesh this out just a little bit. So if we've been given gifts, I want to make sure that you understand this. Living here in Northern Virginia is a gift. Okay, so my wife, Catherine, she's written for presidents of many major nonprofits. And one of the cool thing about that is she comes home with stories all the time, just amazing stories. And there was this one of this woman who grew up in just terrible slums. And, I mean, people just sleeping out. You know, under daylight. It's just really bad. And this person comes to America. There's a detached garage, and she's staying at this house. She's this detached garage, and she asks the guy, she's like, "Oh, whose house is that?" And he's like, "Oh, that's the garage." And she's like, "Yeah, but who lives there?" And he's like, "Well, that's where we keep the stuff." And she's like, "Yeah, but who lives there?" And he just had to say, he's like, "Well, that's a house for my car." And, you know, it was just kind of hard for him to say that. Now, I'm not saying that I've got a garage. I'm not saying that if you have a garage, it's evil or wrong. But just for us to really understand how gifted we are here in America. We have houses for our cars, okay? That is, that we are in a place that we don't even understand the gifting that the Lord has given us. And so just by the fact that you are here, just by the fact that you're here at church this morning, you've been given gifts so far beyond what so many other people financially have all over the world. When you realize most of the world lives on less than $2 a day, it's insane. And so Luke 12:48, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture says this, "To whom much is given, much is required." We have been given a lot. Okay, so I heard a Christian business leader speak a few months back, and she said that if you have the ability to be successful, you have the responsibility to be successful, and went on to talk about how the fact, you know, Christians, we're lights in the world. We're called to support missionaries, to be missionaries, to support those around us, to live as lights in our world. And that's not just, listen, Success is not just financial. Success is also, you're called to be a good husband. You're called to be a good wife. You're called to be a light in the world. You're called to be a good father. How are you using these? You know, if you are married, you found what is good. Are you investing that talent? Are you making that talent better? Are you investing as a father? Are you investing as a spouse? As a mother, what are you doing? Are you learning? Are you growing? Are you trying to be better? Are you working to be a light in the world? I mean, heck, over 50% of marriages end in divorce. Are you going to have a marriage that is a light for other people? Is that a gift you're going to invest in and make better so that you can show the rest of the world what it looks like? I mean, marriage is a picture of Christ and his church. Are we investing in that? You know, it's not just about the workplace, but the workplace is important too. How about your job? Do you go to your job and do just enough to get by? Do you go there? And I mean, think about this. Is the person that shows up at work and does just enough and, you know, maybe, you know, just doesn't work that hard, doesn't serve other people, is that the person that is going to have a platform to talk about Jesus? Or is the person who works hard, is kind, loving, and really, you know, does a good job, is that person going to have a platform to talk about Jesus? Who are you going to respect more? Who are you going to be? Who are we going to be? Who have we been called to be? So here's another thing. You know, last week we've been going through a series where we're reaching with Fusion, where we're reaching out to our lost friends. And last week was the culmination of that. And you know, the awesome thing, this is your church here, guys. Last week, a lot of people, we had a number of people enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. New people became Christians because of that. And you know, one of the girls here, she's not here this morning, she invited a couple of her friends, or a friend from work and a boyfriend came. And it was just awesome because, you know, they come periodically to stuff, and they came and they asked Jesus into their lives this last week. You know, and the reason why is because she took that relationship she had, which is a talent, which is a gift. Our relationships are gifts from the Lord as well. She took that relationship and she used it for the glory of God. She brought them to a place where they would hear about Jesus. Do you realize that our relationships are also gifts that the Lord has given us? Are we stewarding those well? What are we doing with those relationships we have? At work, are we talking about Jesus? Are we being lights in the world? Are we people who are stewarding those relationships? And I'll tell you what, when we see people meet the Lord, it changes our lives. Not just them, it changes us. And, you know, I've heard so many people talk about this before, but, you know, they quote St. Francis of Assisi, who's great. He says, preach the gospel always, use words when necessary. That's great. You know what the problem with that is? We love to use it as an excuse because words are necessary. Those that say we don't need to use words is bogus. It's bogus. Words are necessary. Apostle Paul in Romans 10 says this, how then can we call on one whom we've not believed? And how are we to believe in one whom we've never heard? And how are we to hear unless somebody preaches? Listen to this logic, all right? Just follow the logic, okay? How are they going to hear unless somebody tells them? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. Guys, we have been called. We have been called to talk to our friends. If we've been called to talk to the people in our sphere, that is one of the talents, one of the treasures, one of the gifts the Lord has given us. Are we doing something with it? Or do we just go about our day? Not care. Don't care. Look. It's important for us to take the gifts and talents and treasures that the Lord has given us and use them. And finally, you know, this last piece that we do here is, it's so important for us to understand that he's given us a relationship with us, with himself. How are we investing in that? The relationship with the creator of the universe. Are we investing in that relationship? Are we spending time in prayer? Are we spending time in the growing in our faith? To everyone who has been given, much will be required. Given much, much will be required. The verse goes on again in Matthew 25. It says, then he went away. He who received five talents went at once and traded with them, and he got five more. So also the one who had two talents went and got two more. But the one who received the one talent went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of these servants came back and he settled the accounts with them. And the one who had received five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you've delivered five talents. I have made five more. His master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will now set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had two talents, came forward saying, Master, you delivered me two talents. Here's two more. And the master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. Now I will give you much. Enter into the joy of your master. Then he went to the one that received one talent. And he said, Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping what you did not sow and gathering what you scattered, where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here is what is yours. But his master, answering him, said, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I had no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, you should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. All right, so we need to understand what he's saying here. First of all, do you guys remember what the title of a message I gave a few weeks back was? It's no more what? Excuses. Let's say that again. No more what? That's right. No more excuses. What does this one guy have, the one that buries the one in the ground? What is it? An excuse. You know what? I think a lot of us, even though we don't want to relate with him, like, who wants to relate with the bad guy in the movie, right? Nobody wants to relate with the bad guy in the movie. But if we're honest with ourselves, if we are truly honest with ourselves, we will realize that a lot of times we just make excuses for not using the gifts that God has given us, not sharpening the sword we have. You know, I mean, I just mentioned the relationships. How often do we use those relationships for the glory of God? Or do we just bury them in the ground? You know, the things that we do, how often do we use those for the glory of God? How often are we getting better at everything we're doing? Our job, do we just go in and do our job? Our marriage, do we just settle for a good marriage? Are we always trying to grow? Are we always trying to get better? You know, the cool thing, I understand that the women at the women's mingle yesterday talked about the widow of Zarephath. And you hear the story, and this is a woman, she's not even named in the Bible. She's just a widow. That's how they don't call her by her name. But here's the crazy thing. She had nothing. Nothing. She had flour and oil, just a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. But she gave everything she had to the Lord. And it changed a nation. Okay? The prophet was kept alive because this woman gave just her little bit of flour. And now some of you in this room may feel like you've been beaten up, may feel like you don't have anything to offer the Lord. That may be how you feel right now, that you're the one with the one talent, okay? You're not having everything flow well for you. Everything's not going great. But what you have, you do have something, and you can't just dig a hole and put it in the ground. It's not acceptable. The Lord is not okay with that. We see how he reacts to the people that don't use his talents, his gifts, his treasure that he's entrusted with you for his glory. It's not acceptable. So even if you have little, you need to use what you have for his glory. And some of us, look, I know a lot of people in this church are very successful, very successful. I know a lot of you have a lot of favor at your job. Do really well, you know. Maybe you're the two or the five talent person. But let me tell you something. If you have a lot of success at your job, you make a lot of money. A lot of people like you and respect you. But you're not using that as a platform for Jesus Christ. Then it's worthless. What is the point? What is the point? If people don't know that you're a believer, if people don't know that the reason why you do the things you do is because of Jesus Christ, what's the point? We're called to be salt and light in the world. And if you hide your light under a bushel, Jesus talks about this in the Sermon on the Mount. If you hide your light under a bushel, what's the point? You know, no matter how bright your light is, if you hide it, what is the point? There is no point. So no matter how successful you are, it means nothing if you're not successful for Jesus. If you're not an ambassador for Jesus. What is an ambassador? The Bible calls us ambassadors for Jesus. What is an ambassador? Somebody who represents another place. And you know, what good is an ambassador? If there was an ambassador here in America that we didn't even know was sent from their country, what good is it to have an ambassador here, right? You've been given, if you are successful, that is something the Lord has entrusted with you. You've obviously done a good job in excelling in your, wherever it is, in your sphere. The Lord has given you that place, and you've done a good job excelling there. But I don't think he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, if nobody knows that you're a Christian. If you take your light and hide it under a bushel, it's important for us to be loud and proud about who we are. So I'm going to finish up this morning with this. Everyone in this room has been given gifts, talents, treasures that the Lord has for you to steward. That's part of who you are, your DNA makeup, whatever it is, that when you do it, you feel his pleasure. The Lord has given you that. And this morning, I just would venture to say, after doing ministry as long as I've done, spending time with enough people, that a lot of times we just go about our lives not thinking about stewarding the gifts that we've been given. This morning, I'd love for us to think through who we are, the gifts we've been given, and how are we to use those for the glory of God. I'm going to pray for us right now, and I would like everybody to just think of one thing, just one thing, that the Lord has given you, that the Lord has entrusted with you, and how you could use that for his glory. How you could use that so that when you're using it, you feel his pleasure. So let's just take a second and think and pray. Lord Jesus, I know that there are treasures and gifts that you've given me that I have not stewarded well. And right now, I confess that to you, Lord, and I know that I need to use these things that you've given me to your glory. And if there's anybody else here this morning with everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed that just feels like you have been given gifts from the Lord that you've not stewarded for his glory, I would just say, just with everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, just raise your hand and say, Lord, I confess that right now, and I want to do better. I want to follow you. Amen. See the hands. Amen. 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 And finally, there are some people here, I'm sure, in a room this size, that have been given the greatest gift of all, which is the gift of Jesus Christ. You know that there's something not right in your life. You know that you've never come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it has left a void in your life. And this morning, Jesus Christ is calling to you, saying he wants a relationship with you. He wants to give you the greatest gift ever given, a relationship with your Creator. And if that's you right now, just say, Lord, I want you to come into my life. I want you to make me who I was created to be. If that's you, I would just say, just quickly with the heads bowed and eyes closed, just lift your hand and say, that's me. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing us here this morning. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will be here this morning, that your Holy Spirit will come upon the members here of the King's Chapel with power, that we will walk out from here, that we will be sight, salt, and light in this world, that we will follow you, that those that know us will know that we are your children, that they'll see you in us, that we will be loving, kind, hardworking, great husbands, great wives, great employees, great employers, great people in the world that we live. And through that, we will bring so many people into relationship with you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Chris.